Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Okay, Ken coming through tonight. You look cute in this little like crew neck sweatshirt. You're like comfy cozy, but looking handsome.
These are like my months. Like I literally, once it turns like October, I wear nothing but like crew neck sweatshirts like for 6 months. And then spring in Memphis brings the heat back out.
It's
and then
the worst.
I put back on. I know. Yeah. The worst ever.
I know.
So I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying looking okay for 6 months. Because then when I got to put them thighs back out, it's another story. Okay.
Get them thighs to the people.
Yes. Thighs to the sky, baby.
Hi, guys. We have Kendrick Tucker here from Reality and Comics 2. Kendrick, hi.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I know, you know, I wanted to just do a quick little Married to Medicine touch base, to use our corporate words, because yes. I'm loving the season. Kix doesn't really watch it so much, but I needed someone to talk to, and I was like, Kendrick, can you come on? I got a gab, because there's so much to talk about. But before we actually get to Married to Medicine, there is something else. There's another sphere that you and I both inhabit so deeply, and that is the world of Miss Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter.
Yes.
First thoughts on the movie this weekend?
Oh my God! Everything I needed it to be. It genuinely felt like I went to the concert again, and I had just as good of a time. It's kind of crazy. Like, I loved it. I loved the documentary part of it. I was rooting for Blue. My theater was dancing the whole, like, it was
see,
a good
time.
See, my
theater wasn't. I'm going again this weekend. I went twice last weekend, and I'm going again this weekend.
I know that's right. You know what? A little self-care. I might sneak in myself and go see
No,
one,
honestly,
okay?
It is that. Because I went, so on Saturday, I went with Kix and Brian, and we went to like a dine-in theater where you could get drinks and stuff. And then Sunday, I went just alone to the IMAX to experience it alone, because I needed to like be in my own kind of headspace. And the IMAX experience was wild.
Yes. So I went IMAX too. Are you a solo movie girly?
Oh, I'm mostly solo movie girly.
Like any chance I get, like, I've told you this before though, but like other people sometimes it's like, okay, fine, like whatever, we'll do it. But you know, like me, I'll go see like my Marvel movies, everything. I try to go like Thursday night. I sneak in, I go by myself. I don't need anybody. Like I'm having a good time. So that was, I feel like I need to go see it by myself to really appreciate it too.
You do. I agree. I feel more like, I feel like I can focus better alone. I can really like hone in on the movie. I'm not thinking about anything else. There's something comforting about being alone. It's funny though, because Brian doesn't understand why I'm like you, where I'm like what you said about the Marvel movie. I'm like, I want to go Thursday night. Like I want to see it before anyone sees it, because I want to be a part of the conversation that people are having about it. I want to say that I saw it that weekend. And he's like, we'll just get to it like sometime this month. I'm like, it's just that, unfortunately, that's not how it's going to work for me.
Exactly. No.
That I hold off on seeing because we go together. But then there's some stuff that I just go alone.
Certain like universes, I will only go opening weekend. But like, if it's a, you know, somebody's like,
sure,
oh, I got a
there's things,
Megan or something like that. Yeah. It's like, okay, fine. We don't have to go opening weekend. I still went opening
I actually
weekend,
did go to
like,
Megan opening weekend.
Me too.
Yeah. That was actually really fun. The theater was so fun because everyone was like screaming
it was
and crying,
amazing.
Laughing. Yeah.
Me and my mom love horror movies. So like I took her, I took my sister. Our little one for some reason loves horror movies now. And so she went with us. Like it's a blast.
Yeah. Well, back to Beyonce though, the big takeaway that I had from the movie was like, how on earth does her brain work the way it does, where like you're watching the footage of the show, but then during the show you didn't realize as someone who was at the actual show that there were other cameras that were filming that she was like making deep eye contact with.
Right.
For the movie. Like, there'll be moments where, like, a drone flies over her or something, and she looks up at it. And in the movie, she's staring, like, into this camera. but it's like a part of the choreography. And I'm like, how? The way she has planned this was like from the top. She was like, it's also going to be a movie. There needs to be cameramen that are doing more than just filming for the stadium, stadiums for the other thing. It's like how your brain goes to those places. I don't know how she does it.
4 years to make that tour. And I'm assuming the album too, but like that is wild to me that like I like my work is so like day to day that like I'm always, it's so hard for me to like even picture stuff that far out, even though I'm pretty much a planner, but like it's hard for me to picture stuff that far out. For her to start this and be like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm releasing it this year, I'm going out on tour the next year, I'm going to need 7,000 people in each city to help set up this massive stage. Like, I applauds to you. Like, it's wild. My favorite part was when she talked about how she always has to, like, repeat herself for people to, like, pay attention. And it was, like, the one guy when she asked the question, she was like, that's as wide as it'll go, like the camera lens. He's like, yeah, I don't think they make it any wider. She's like, well, I googled it. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
like stop fucking playing with me. Like you would think you'd learn by now. Like I'm gonna look, I'm gonna check. Like stop it, bitch, stop it.
She's it's amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It is truly, even if, and I don't understand how you can't be, but even if you're not like a huge Beyonce fan, You will be mesmerized by the way that she's able to like make this movie. I mean, it doesn't feel like I think if I went to the Eras tour, I would feel deeply out of place watching the movie version of that. But if you, and vice versa, if you were not a Beyonce person, but you went to this, I think you would be very entertained because it's like, there's documentary aspects to it. There's also the way she films it is so cool. If you just have an appreciation for like the artistry behind film, it is crazy.
It's amazing. One of my cousins is not like the biggest fan, but she doesn't miss anything. Whenever we plan something, she's like FOMO to the max, so she's gonna come no matter what. She had the best time. She said she loved the movie, like she can't wait to see it again. Like it was everything to her. So this goes to show y'all, go see the movie. Even if you're not a Beyonce fan, you'll appreciate it and you'll come out dancing anyway, because it was everything.
Oh,
shout out to Uncle Johnny. Okay,
Uncle Johnny. I know. Oh god, it's so good. I wanted to have you here though, not to just talk about Beyonce, but to talk about Married to Medicine, because I am absolutely obsessed with this season so far.
It's so good.
And I just want to talk generally about your thoughts on it and your thoughts about Queen Mother of the House Parks coming back to Bravo and all that. I mean, where are you at with the move of bringing on Sweet Tea to the show?
Oh my God, love it. you know me. That's my kind of mess.
Yes.
Like one, I feel like Quad always gives off the vibe that she doesn't want to be there anyway, and she doesn't like really like the other girls. Mm-hmm. But she kind of feels to me like she comes for the check. And so I feel like this was kind of a way of like keeping her on her toes and making her realize like, you kind of need us too. We need you and you kind of need us too. And I thought it was a smart move. I like Sweet Tea. I feel like I'm in a minority with that. I know like the internet like bashes her every week.
I don't dislike her. I like her too. I think what's kind of refreshing to me about her is that she is, for someone who's so young and is definitely seen this show before, she wanted to be on the show.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She's pretty stupid, though, with doing the show, which I like. Like, she's not, you know, when we get these newbies who are very familiar with the Bravo universe or just the way reality TV works, and they're just too, they're too, like, on. Mm-hmm. They're too, like, trying to make drama. Sweet Tea is authentically herself.
A country bama, and I kind of love it.
I love it, too. And she's not aware of the way she's coming across. She doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. She's not aware of the way she sounds when she says certain things. Like the having access to the money line is, I cannot believe she let that come out of her mouth.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Like what?
Oh boy.
And so next week on the podcast, we are recapping Married to Medicine season 1, episode 1 in our throwback series. So we just watched it and recorded it. And something I had not realized was that like how fraught the Gregory and Quad relationship was from literally episode one.
From jump, absolutely. Absolutely. That
a month before their wedding, he called it off. And
right.
And then also a couple of weeks before that, she threw a bowl at his head and they both got arrested.
That is not funny, but
it is funny. Hilarious. A bowl is funny. It's not like like the fact that the police report says she threw a bowl at my head. Like a cereal bowl.
They were not good for each other. So they need to be glad that they separated. And honestly, I think Greg now, certain men work best with certain types of women. Cause I feel like some men need like their wife to like kind of bow and worship the feet and the ground that they walk on. And I feel like I was about to call her Letitia. I've never called her Letitia before. I feel like
her government name. Yeah.
I know, not the government. I feel like she's more so like doing that simply because like she wants the lifestyle a little more. Like I feel like she wants to be like among those girls and that stuff. And I think she's willing to be a lot more submissive than Quad ever will. I don't think Quad ever. Ooh, I don't want to say she saw Greg as like a stepping stone, but that marriage was never built to last.
No,
like
I don't really know what she saw in him at all, really.
Me
because
neither.
She hates him.
Genuinely.
And I don't know.
Genuinely.
I don't know. It's a very, Quad is very interesting to me. She's so guarded in so many ways. I don't totally understand why. Like I feel like, was it the past two seasons was the first time we learned more about her family and about her adopted nephew or like her nephew that she then began raising. Like it's just kind of, there's stuff like that where it's like, this is season 9 or 8 and we're finally learning about this side of your life when it's like, you've been on the show for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love her though. I mean, she's amazing television, but she's just very guarded and she confuses me sometimes. And with these women, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll get into it, but this funeral that we had, like the point of it was kind of never, it never got off its feet. Like it never got to where it needed to be with her.
Never.
Like there was no reconciliation.
Well, Quad is the person that like, it was kind of hilarious to me that she literally wasn't offering anyone an apology. She was literally telling people, we're going to move on. And then like, it took Toya to be like, no, we're not. Like you said I robbed a lady last season and that I was screwing over on my husband. Like, we're not just going to move on. Then Quad's just like, oh, well, I guess we're not okay then, guys. I don't know what else I can do.
Like, you didn't really like, work that hard.
Apologize.
Yeah,
right?
You didn't work hard to make this happen, but.
They're all hilarious. But what's really funny is that they're all kind of, it's like Toya, Heavenly, Quad, like that whole group is all kind of same coin, different size, like same kind of like mess. Cause Heavenly's the one that like will do all of the mess, but then she'll just give you the apology just to give it. And so she's kind of the opposite of Quad, who will never give an apology. But Heavenly's like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, I don't be mean and that. I don't like to do that. Right. And it's just simply because to get you off her back. Like, I don't care about this apology, but here it is for you. You can have it.
Well, speaking of Heavenly, I feel like we're getting one of the more calculated versions of her. She was so heavy-handed in bringing Sweet Tea on the show and is also the one that is, like, taking her down.
She brought her on to take her down.
Girl, you brought her on this show. Why do people do that? People do that a lot on these shows. Like, they'll bring their friend on. It's so weird. Yes. They'll bring their friend on, and then, like, Tamara brought on Jen this past season of OC, or Adrian and... this is an old throwback, but like Adrian and Brandy were brought on together as friends. Mm-hmm. And then Brandy goes and calls Sonya and Drew were friends. So, like, I know it's like, why is that the first one to go for? But I really think Heavenly was like, this would be good TV. And she's an idiot.
They're so funny. And I think you know what? I truly feel like Heavenly wanted to piss Quad off. Because do you remember, like, for so long, Quad would not sign on for the show. Like, she was holding out for more money and more money. She was holding out for so long that they had, like, filmed so much of the show And then when they finally got her like to agree to do the show, it was like they had already had a relationship with Sweet Tea and all this kind of stuff. So I feel like Heavenly at one point kind of was like, I think I want to flip sides. I don't know if I want to stay over here with Greg and Sweet Tea. Like, let me go back over to Quad is more fun. Let me go over here with Quad and let Sweet Tea brew.
Because with the Sweet Tea and Quad stuff, the person that I also am confused by is Simone. Like, it's clear that Simone does not want Quad to be there, but I don't mm-hmm. understand why. And it also makes Simone look kind of bad to me.
Ooh,
she looks kind of mean to me.
I actually feel the same way they do, because I feel like Simone, Quad, Jackie, I feel like most of the girls except Heavenly kind of don't like Quad for the fact that like she treats them like co-workers instead of friends. Like everyone else has like a genuine relationship, but Quad doesn't ever want to, like you were saying, she's not the open book. When she had like sister circles, she was never around them. She didn't want to be around them and stuff like that. She kind of places herself above them in a lot of ways. And she doesn't like to, I feel like I'm bashing Quad, but like if you listen to the podcast, I have a lot of big issues with Quad as a reality star. Like totally. The antics and stuff I love, but I feel like she's so like hiding so much of her life, like mm-hmm. she never wants to tell you who she's dating and all this kind of stuff. And I think that like someone like Jackie, who's been cheated on this show on and had to live through it the whole time, so like that, I feel like people like her resent Quad sometimes for still being able to cash one of the big checks but not having to like do the same amount of work that all of them have to do.
Well, and Simone. I mean, I would argue Simone's almost been through more than Jackie in a way. Yeah. She really bared... She has bared so much of her... Jackie kind of kept some of the stories, like, hidden, I think, with the cheating mm-hmm. and stuff. Simone was living out loud through her being, like, on camera, like, I don't want to be married anymore. How else can I say it?
Right. And just being loud in general, so...
Yeah. I love Simone. Simone is my favorite.
Oh, her and Cecil crack me up. I love this show has like the best couples on Bravo, like easily. I love almost like I might have like problems with individual people, but I love all of the couples because they're all like either funny or insightful, like in different ways. Curtis can go, but still, like everyone else, I'm with.
Wait, Curtis? Oh, Curtis is Jackie's husband, right?
Yeah,
yeah, he's kind of
the.
He freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, he's...
I feel like he's up to some stuff. Well, he's been up to some stuff in the past, but even some more stuff, I feel.
Right.
Yeah.
For some reason, that episode where Greg had that bachelor party, you know, Curtis was on the bus like, oh, whoa, no, what is that? I feel like he was waiting for those cameras to go down.
Yeah.
Yes, and turn some tricks. That's what was going to happen.
So, something I was talking about with Kix, actually, was that, you know, I'm loving Phaedra in the mix here, but mm-hmm. something I realized about Phaedra in the mix with these ladies is these ladies don't play the Housewives game. Like, the show is different. I think in mm-hmm. our mind, it's the same because the worlds never cross.
Yes.
But then, now that Phaedra is here, the ladies are, like, Jackie doesn't know what to do. When Phaedra is doing her shtick of, like, being funny for the cameras, being messy, bringing Quad to things, like, mm-hmm. planning a funeral. Like, you can, in that funeral scene itself, you could see all of them are like, what is happening? Because, like, it's so Housewives. It's so kind of, like, put on. We're Married to Medicine, I realize, is so much not that. It's so, like, real.
Right.
I feel like it's probably one of the realer shows. Mm-hmm. And Phaedra is playing the game kind of differently than they're used to. Which I think is not going to work in Phaedra's favor, unfortunately.
I do, too. Because I think that, I don't know, all of them... They're hilarious on their own and they don't really need those theatrics. But I think people watching Phaedra in this capacity, people that might not have even watched Married to Medicine before, I think they're going to be expecting everything that she's giving. And I think it's going to work out to like bring new audiences to this show.
Sure.
Phaedra, that entire mess in Willie Watkins' funeral home was... Also,
it was at 11 p.m. at night. Did you see that? The timestamp?
Yes.
I was like... You could not get me somewhere at 9.
Like, no. Everyone was like,
the event is not starting at 11.
No, No. They had with Miss. It couldn't have been me.
Could not have been me.
Somebody should have been dead in that casket if you wanted to get me out at 11 o'clock. And I still would have just sent flowers.
I do wish it was Mariah in there.
It pissed me off. That was my gripe with this scene, because I was like, this is like A-plus television. I love this mess. But that was my gripe, because they purposely did that trailer to make us think that it would be Mariah in that casket. Like, why are you putting Mariah? It's season 8. It's not like it's season, like, isn't it season 8?
No, season 10.
Okay. Oh, well, I guess that does make a little more sense. Maybe they're throwing it back a decade. I don't know. But it feels like they, like, purposely kept putting her in that trailer to make us think she was going to be the one to jump out the casket. We all knew it was going to be Quad. But, like, they kind of, like, played that up, and I hated that. Because I'm like, bring Mariah back. Like, nothing she's done has warranted it. Like, bring her back.
No,
you know that's my A-plus person.
I know. You love Mariah. I like her a lot, too. Is the reason she left because she doesn't have any friends on the show anymore, essentially? Or I can't remember why she left.
She said that Bravo pushed her out because they didn't want her, like, in the quote-unquote boardroom on the show.
Yeah.
So, like, they didn't want her, like, on it. So they, to, like, make it look even, they let her and Quad go at the same time. But then they brought Quad back as a friend, like, halfway through, I think, season 8.
Yeah.
And then because of, like, how she performed that season, they bumped her back up to a main person. And Mariah just hasn't been. So, like, Mariah's been in, like, I think at one point, like, her and NeNe, like, joined forces in that lawsuit and, like, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I think it was those two. It was, it was someone else. Somebody else, Black on Bravo. I just can't think of who it was. But it was like three people, and they had, like, kind of gotten together. And that one guy, Ben, was it Ben Crump? I think the one, like, Black attorney that, like, handles everything for, like, suits in Atlanta. I think it was him. He, like, was the one that, like, did the lives with them and everything, like, trying to figure out, you know, he kept saying, oh, they stole your intellectual property. They stole your intellectual property. And so, like, now Mariah's like, you know, oh, they stole my intellectual, you know, I don't know. But we don't know anything don't about like the deals that went on.
It's not worth coming. This is my whole thing with the reality reckoning. It's like, you're not going to win, probably.
Right.
You got to think smaller first. Like, think about getting residuals for people, or getting like that's a great place to start. But going all the way to the top and being like, we are mistreated because XYZ, and then coming for the network, is not going to get you. I don't think it's, unfortunately, going to get you anywhere.
I hate everything about what Bethany is doing, because one, it's all for her. It's not for anybody else.
She didn't give a shit about NeNe. She didn't give a shit about Raquel. She didn't give a no. And NeNe,
no, stop.
Do you think NeNe is going to come back?
I'm trying not to jinx it. I think that the reason they're not gonna start shooting until spring is because they're really trying to, like, bait back some of their old players. Like Portia, I think they can get, but I think if they have NeNe back first, I think they can get Portia back a lot sooner. So I think that if Andy puts it aside, I don't know if he will. He kind of hyped people up at BravoCon to make it seem like he was willing to talk, and she did all the appropriate things, deleting stuff from social media, all that kind of stuff. So it makes me think that they might want to work something out, but I don't know. My fingers are crossed for it. I think, okay, this is the cast that I want to happen.
Okay.
I think Lanithia, obviously, Portia, Cynthia, Candy, Kenya, Drew and Eva. I don't think we need any new people. If we can get those seven, then I think that works. If we can't get NeNe, then get a new person. But I think those guys will be enough, and then, but hope, ideally NeNe, because they need some stuff.
Yeah, I think we do a combo where we bring in some old people. But I think I think it would be fun to have at least like two to three like fresh blood too in the mix to like fight with them, you know, or have some new alliances, some new friendships. Like I think a split, like a cast of eight where there's like five OGs or vets, not OGs necessarily, like vets, like Kenya, Candy, NeNe, Cynthia, Portia.
Okay.
And then three, like, fresh blood or people that are maybe even in the zeitgeist that they know, but like have been on the show before. I just think there needs to be a combo because we did have a season with that cast essentially, right? The season 9 or whatever, the Eva.
Now, Drew and Eva were never on at the same time. And they should have been because they were actual friends, like done movies together, all kinds of stuff.
That's true.
I think that was a missed opportunity to have like Portia, Drew, and Eva all on one cast, like the younger people. Because if you're going to like phase out and swing younger, like mm-hmm. they seem to be doing, that would be a good cast to kind of like center it around. The only thing that's I agree with you. I would normally say like get rid of half and keep, because that's what I'm pushing for in Potomac. I think they should get rid of half of those girls. Sorry, everybody. You want me to give you my... Okay, hold on. Because I got a lot of hot takes.
Things are tough in Potomac, Kendrick.
Things are fucking horrible in Potomac. And Potomac honestly can stop airing that shit right now and go back to the drawing board.
Why?
I'm not interested.
Why on a cast that has one Nigerian woman? Why are we bringing on a second Nigerian woman and all of the non-Nigerian women are encouraging a fight between two Nigerian women? It's like it's in such poor taste. Like, why the mm-hmm. fuck would Ashley Darby stir a pot like that? Like,
nobody's even called her out on it, which is even crazier because, like, Wendy, you're supposed to be the smartest person on this cast. You should have looked right at Ashley and been like, motherfucker, you started this. You're the reason why we're arguing right now, but nobody's doing it. Ashley just gets to kind of sit back and watch and be happy. They need to, before I go back to Atlanta, I say go back to the basics, go back to the four OGs, mm-hmm. and they can honestly fire everybody else, even Candace. And now, you know, I love me some Candace, but Candace can go too, because Candace doesn't seem like she wants to be there right now either. She didn't film with the cast until like episode 4 or 5. Like, I know you got your music thing going on, but go do that if that's the case.
I understand that, but I also am like, they've locked her out. Like, they're not letting Candace or Wendy be on the show. Like, Giselle and Robin don't want them there. And Ashley doesn't really either. Karen is willing to film with them, so that's why they're friends. But, like, we can't have casts that are so just
It's terrible. Separate. They're so divided.
It's not a show. Yeah. Like, we need everyone together. There's no world in which these women would be in Austin, Texas together. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And I don't need to believe it all the time, but, like, there's
right.
There's eight women and friend ofs. And there's not like a core group of people.
That's why I said they got to go. I think they need to go back to the originals because I think, oh, honestly, the only thing that's like I'm interested in watching this season is Mia and Gordon. And that's wild because they're the only ones with like real shit actually like going on right yeah. now. Mm-hmm. And that like therapy scene and everything, like her revealing like the guy committed suicide, like a lot of like wild stuff like actually happening. And I didn't watch that episode till very recently because I had to record about it. But Potomac is not interested in me. I think that what they need, if they're going to keep this cast, they need to do some tweaking, and they need to, if you just like are hell bent on like keeping Wendy and Candace, like making them, like integrating them in the group, then you have to give each one of them a friend.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's not going to work otherwise. And then in that case, I feel like it's still going to be like divided right down the middle. So I don't know. Potomac got to figure something out because I'm bored.
Yeah, it sucks though when they're all. What's different about bad seasons of like, for instance, the last season of Atlanta, like I don't think they're all stars. In Potomac, yeah. a lot of them would carry well on many shows. Like they're very yeah. good TV. So it's frustrating to see that many people that have. It's like there's a show here somewhere, but you guys aren't willing to make the show.
Exactly, there are storylines like everywhere, but nobody wants to actually
right. Like Candace and Giselle don't want to talk about their problems. You can't just be on a show and be like they're invisible to me. Unfortunately, right. This is not. We can't do that.
I know. I feel like everyone don't, because I feel like one. I don't care about this Wendy and NECA stuff, even the slightest bit, and that's a problem. Since y'all are making this like the center point of the season, right. I don't care. I'm sorry, I don't care. I feel
and also
like,
on both sides of it, it's a little confusing, and I think not everyone's saying everything. Honestly, and
you know what it is?
I love Wendy too, but I'm just saying, like, she's not being totally honest about it. She's lying. She thinks she's smarter than the camera, but but
exactly. Wendy is definitely lying. NECA's probably lying too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the reason that particular argument annoys me so much is because we, the viewers, know what it's really about. It's about Wendy not wanting her on the show, but they can't say that because Bravo doesn't let them break the fourth wall a lot. And I'm like, at this point, let them argue about that, because I don't, this whole like your mom says she's gonna pray at shrines against me and stuff like that.
I'm so one bored. I think
people are afraid to talk about that, number one, because so they're afraid to like engage with the show because they don't want to like offend anyone. They don't know like what, like they don't know that like world. And so like having them try to have discourse about it is going to be a no-no for everybody involved,
right?
And I just think that I think that all of this, one, is boring. But then, two, I feel like centering this around Wendy, who, oh boy, I feel like I'm like getting, I'm going to lose like everyone that like even remotely listens to me right now. But I said, all like, Wendy's boring. And that's just what it is. Like,
I've never been team her. I like her as a person. Right. And Kix Gets Kicks loves her. And I say, and she thinks that I'm being so mean. I'm like, no, Kix, you're misunderstanding. No. I don't dislike her as a human. I'm sure we would have a wonderful time together. She seems like a great mom, a great person. Mm-hmm. But she kind of puts on this thing for the show that doesn't work for me.
Right. That's what it is. Because I feel like she's pretending. She's doing a lot of like putting on to show that like she's better than the other girls. Like, you know, I don't need to be like hanging out with like Robin and Giselle, like that clique. But then I kind of feel like she's morphing into one of them too. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this is all like, this is a weird dynamic to have on this show. And I feel like I just like her more if she, I don't know. I feel like the reads are so, I don't know. Wendy just isn't for me anymore. And I hate that because when she first came on, I kind of loved her. I was like, I like this personality, but then I got bored really fast.
Like when Karen was coming for her for slithering down the stairs and like that whole, that was all fun.
Yes.
And her talking about being a doctor too much, and everyone was like, shut the fuck up. I'm like,
right.
That was funny and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're at a point now where she's, I don't know. But NECA is trying way too hard. And she also feels,
yeah,
she's also so mean to her husband. I've never seen a meaner woman to their partner. She's literally like, will you shut the fuck? They're like ordering, they're like at a drive-thru, and she's like, for fuck's sake, shut up, man.
Jesus. It's a lot.
Wait, back to Atlanta. You were saying something about, well, I don't remember where we were, but in Atlanta. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about casting in Atlanta too. I feel like the reason I'm nervous to do like a split in Atlanta, because I encourage a split everywhere, get rid of half of the cast, mm-hmm. bring on new people until you like figure it out, and make the girls audition like you used to. Like, that's really what you need. But I feel like in Atlanta, there are so many thirsty people that I feel like it's a lot harder to do that. And I'm kind of surprised that they took so much time off season, what, between 12 and 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or was it between 13 and 14? They took so much time off to like get the cast right. And that's what they came up with. Like, it was kind of weird. Like 14, I really enjoyed. 15, we all, you know, we there were great episodes, bad, horrible episodes, boring little stints, like all that kind of stuff. But I feel like in Atlanta, you kind of have to like go with what you know. Like, some of those girls are literally, I feel like it'd be terrible if they kind of did that half and half, unless you go completely the unknown route, and that might be what they need to do. Like, but I feel like Bravo won't do that. They're gonna try to.
I don't
to,
think they should do that.
Yeah, they're gonna try to get some names.
Atlanta, I you know, I've never been to Atlanta, but just from my knowledge of the pop culture world, it seems mm-hmm. like you at every coffee shop, someone in that coffee shop has been on a reality show.
Exactly.
Like, everyone exactly. there knows the game of reality TV, because Atlanta's not that big and there's so many shows there.
Exactly. And that's the problem, because now it's like everybody, one, thinks they can be on a reality show, and mm-hmm. then two, and everybody's coming on like already knowing like the person they want to emulate on that show. So right. it's like, okay, we've got another fake NeNe Leakes over here. Okay, we got another fake Portia Williams. So it's like, Atlanta is so, sorry to all our Atlanta listeners, but like, Atlanta is so like unoriginal in that aspect when mm-hmm. it comes to reality TV, that I'm nervous for, they, I don't know, they got to get creative with casting in Atlanta if they're gonna like not bring back older people, because what are we doing?
Well, and also back to Married to Medicine, something about Married to Medicine that I think that works so well, and it's like an example of a cast that's willing to do this, is like sticking it out with just the cast, and that's the cast, and there'll be a couple people mm-hmm. here and there that change, but that's the cast. They figure it out.
Like, they got the core.
And the core of them are willing to just do the show with who's there, always. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I know they're ousting Quad on and off a lot because she's frustrating, but for the rest of them, not all of them even like each other that much, but they're just like, we're the show. Like, cameras are up. Let's keep going.
Exactly. I look like Heavenly did an interview one time, and she talked about Toya. She's like, Toya is literally like the focal point of our show. She's like, I can't imagine Married to Medicine without Toya. She's like, I don't know any other person. Well, she said, I don't know any other bitch who would let y'all film her. Who let y'all film her moving from house to house every other season and embarrass herself for the sake of a Bravo chick? So mean. And I'm like, she is so mean. But I was kind of like, kind of points were made a little bit. But that's them. Like, Married to Medicine, like, they really struck gold with their cast, mm-hmm. and they realized that they had like some really good pieces, and they didn't try to like constantly change it up for the sake of changing it up.
Right, right. They weren't like, it's time to make a shift to like make the show better. It's like they mm-hmm. were just always like, let's just stick it out with this group because there's a show here, which I think lends itself to just being good.
Right, exactly.
Because
best cast on Bravo.
Because mm-hmm. don't you think some of these shows they overcast them?
Yes.
Like, yes. New wives every season. Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking all the women that have been on Married to Medicine. There's only like four or five others that aren't in this cast. There's not right. that many. You have Lisa Nicole. You have Anila. And Lisa Nicole was even back, what, like a couple seasons ago for a little bit.
Right. Carrie Wales. Carrie, Mariah.
And
Contessa. And I think that's it. Contessa.
You know, that her getting let go, I feel lighter without her.
Do you? She did. Her and Scott were a lot.
they were always talking in riddles. They were always like, when the Lord is on the side of the relationship, the side of the relationship will win. And everyone's like, but did he cheat on you?
Right.
Like, she's always like just speaking so grandly about like life. And you're like, okay, I know, I understand. But, and she's always sobbing.
She one thing I loved her because she was always willing to go head to head with Heavenly, like every single episode, like no matter what. I felt bad for her because she got let go at the same time as Anila, and that feels like
Anila should never have been in the mix.
Yeah,
she was embarrassing.
Yeah, sorry, Nene.
when she was. I could never get over, like, the math wasn't mathing for me on the fact that she was like, yeah, my whole house has been furnished by my sponsorships. And I'm like, girl, you have like 100,000 followers on Instagram. Like, you're not influencing furniture companies. Like, what do you mean?
No, like, stop.
People are sending you free couches?
Do you remember the one good scene she had that like genuinely like tickled me like to my gut was the one where I think they had like a housekeeper. She did everything for them. And then she had to leave. Like, she was like, I gotta go take care of my son in another state. I'm leaving. And the kids were like so upset. They were like, who's gonna make me pinto beans? Who's gonna make the pinto beans? That's all they cared about. They knew for a fact Anila could not make those damn pinto beans. And they were so upset about it.
I also ride hard for that housekeeper because she was like, I'm out, y'all. I can't do this.
They were like, can we give you more money? It's will like, you stay on a couple extra weeks? She's like, no.
You all drain me to my core every day just being in your presence.
Just being here. Watching you build this ridiculous house has drained my energy.
Let's talk about Jackie a little bit. So Jackie, do you like Jackie? Because I think I might not like her.
Yeah, see, I like Jackie, but I like Jackie because I know who Jackie is. Mm-hmm. Like, Jackie is not who she puts on to be. Like, Jackie, you know, especially if you hear like the people that like in Atlanta, of course, everyone in Atlanta like will tell you everything about everybody. But like they say, Jackie will like cuss, fucking fight with the best of
them. Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Like, Jackie is not what she puts on that TV to be. And you get glimpses of it on that show every now and then. And I almost wish you'd get more because, you know, the Holier Now act only goes so far. But I mean, I like, she's a staple. So I don't, you know, yeah. I like Jackie.
I can never really wrap my mind around where she has time to be on a television show because she's on every television show.
Right.
And she's always delivering babies.
Is it weird that, like, she's the go-to in Atlanta? I feel like I've never seen Simone on another show delivering a baby.
there was a time, because like, it was sometime this season even, I think. I was like, I can't remember what kind of Dr. Simone was or is. Because I was like, because I'm like, what does she do again? Because I feel like we don't see her at the office as much anymore.
Nope. She's in there arguing with Cecil and them damn kids.
They're always arguing at that basement bar they have.
Yes, I love it. Simone has the most, like, she never knows like what decibel to speak at, and I just kind of love that.
Screaming. When
she's, no matter if she's in a restaurant or like in her privacy of her own home, she's always speaking at the same loudness level, and it just tickles me so much. Because Cecil, I know Cecil is so annoyed every day,
so annoying.
Living in that house.
last season when Simone was like, she was like, and this is America. do you remember that?
When this they is that? America.
And she tried to get through it, and she just starts laughing.
So dumb. I love them.
I love them too. And even at the reunions, Andy will always say, like, there's a couple of reunions where he's like, Simone, you're literally screaming in my ear. Like, I can't hear shit.
About to fucking blow an eardrum. They're so, like, that whole dynamic of, like, those two is so funny. Joe Gunn sent me a voice note. I always look forward to his messages because he sends me, a voice note out of the blue and I never know what they're going to be. And he sent me one the other day and it was just, Cecil and I have decided not to write a couple's book. And I laughed so hard because when I watched that episode, I died laughing because Simone speaks in such, like, I feel like she thinks that, like,
a perfect impression.
Voice,
no.
Yeah. It, right. The staccato, like, in the voice, she's like, that's how her idea of, like, professional speak, like, then, business people talk.
Right. But then at the end, she just goes, like, huge cackle.
Yes.
I do love that about them this season. They're like, we decided to call off the book because, we would likely get divorced.
Yes. I remember last season when they were writing, I was like, this seems like a bad idea. Like, does no one else think that? Like, why are we encouraging them to write this book? And why is Omarosa, of all people, encouraging them to write a book? Like, what are we doing?
That friendship troubles me.
Yeah.
Like, why are you friends okay with her? It makes me think more about Simone. I'm like, you want to be friends with her? Omarosa is an awful person.
She is. What did New York call her? A cock sucking, cum guzzling Republican cunt?
Yes.
Is it what else she said?
Give or take, yeah, I think something like that.
Yes, something around there. Wait, if you had to listen to one laugh for the rest of your life, would you do Heavenly's like high pitched cackle or Simone's like earth shattering cackle
Simone,
that she does?
Simone. When Heavenly's Simone's- like.
I love both of them cracked me when I love the fact that Heavenly was the only person laughing
at
when
the funeral.
Quad came out of that.
I love Heavenly so much. She's like, when she is feeling nosy or bitchy, she flips into that. Now, who was in that casket? Who is in there? Like, she talks so high. I just look in the casket, Daddy. Or when they were talking to their daughter and they were like, you know, we didn't have wind back in our day, Daddy.
I literally was about to say my favorite line on Bravo this year was, we didn't have wind back then.
Daddy, we didn't have wind, Daddy.
Oh, no.
No, when she... Well, okay, wait. Let's talk about the funeral actually a little bit more because there's some more logistics that I want to wrap my mind around. Yeah. I am not claustrophobic, but I don't think I can sit in a coffin for that long.
No.
Just in a coffin.
No, I feel like that's too close to like foreshadowing for me. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Completely agree. I'm like, I do not want to be carried around in a coffin.
Mm-mm. No, no. Phaedra up there with those theatrical hands and she did whatever she did before she walked down. I was like, all of this just seems like bad omen to me. I do not like this. No, wait, I don't like it at all.
Is that her funeral home and does she still own one or no?
I don't know. I've just been assuming that she's been working under Willie Watkins this whole time. Like, this, I guess
maybe
I'm
she never had one. People. Maybe she never had one. She just got her funeral directing license or whatever.
Yeah. I think she embalms and all that kind of stuff, though, too. I don't know.
She herself embalms.
That's what she said. She said she has her license to do all of that. I don't know. Now, have I ever seen her do it? No.
Yeah, that's my thing with her. Is like, what does she do? I mean, obviously, she's just now a reality star, but like... What
I don't know what
was the last thing, like, who was the last what was the last case she tried and as a lawyer, like, what was the
right
and also she's never winning them,
right? See, and what's crazy to me is she has like Phaedra Parks Esquire.
Yes.
And, like, people work there or work there. I don't know. But like, is she just getting like, is she living off like a percentage of those cases that they're winning? Or like, what is, I don't know what's happening. I don't know how, where the money's coming from, but I'm guessing, I don't know.
Well, they don't have to win for her to make money.
That's true.
She still makes the money.
Get that briefcase full of cash like she did that one season. So there we go.
Because she was like more of like a celebrity attorney, right?
Yeah, Bobby Brown. Yeah,
right.
I guess we're saying celebrity. I don't know. She said she represented people that that couldn't always get representation. So, like, I think she said big dick strippers and the likes of those. So,
some people in the sex work industry and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love that for her.
So I don't even know. Something else I love about Married to Madness is like I don't really like even know what else is to come on the season. I feel like the trailer, all I saw was this funeral. So like I'm very excited to see like what else we have, but this funeral episode really was top tier Bravo to me.
It was peak television. Like, I don't care what character you like on this show, who you hate. That was good ass television. Like, I cackled throughout this entire episode. It was too good.
Same. And their speeches, their rehearsed just speeches, and I
and they literally let Quad and Phaedra do this mess, and then they went downstairs to a repast like right after this. Like, who? So at this point, it had to be like 1
a.m.
in the morning.
It was absolutely 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, totally.
Eating fried chicken at 1 a.m. in a funeral home. Like, no, only on Bravo could this shit happen.
No, I would be like, I need to be in bed.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't have came.
Wait, briefly before we let you go, did you watch Beverly Hills last night?
I did.
Briefly. Can we just talk about Denise Richards briefly?
I've been obsessed all day with the fact that she came in with her coat one way and left with it like completely turned upside down. I loved it. And she would not accept it.
And her saying to Dorit, don't, I know what you're doing. Don't do that.
Like, what? What am I doing?
It's like, I literally don't know what you're telling me, but okay.
No, nobody knew what was, I feel like she attacked like three people and nobody knew why they were being attacked. It was kind of great. It was great, Denise, because Denise, when she was on the show, was so guarded about, you know, being a lesbian that she didn't want to do anything else. So I feel like now she's come back. She has to like drink probably three drinks before she gets involved with these ladies at all. And it makes for great television.
But that didn't look like just liquor to me. I'm sorry. I don't know what was going on, but
something.
I've had liquor. I've had enough liquor in my day to know that that's not what happens.
Yeah, it was something. It was something.
Like, is it a pill? Because she didn't have any of the weed. She was like,
She didn't, right?
She was like, I don't like partake in edibles.
Maybe.
And then they also all were talking about how they were high. I'm like, y'all are not high.
No.
Everyone was like, I'll have 3 or 1 milligram in my dinner. I'm like,
right.
When Dorit said 1 milligram, I was like, babe.
I'm like, girl, if you go do it, girl.
But that's like having like, that's like less than a shot's worth of like buzz.
I was literally about to throw one of our friends under the bus because when we were all last together,
someone we were with popped a 50?
25? Something like, oh, no, it was a 50, but they were like, I'm only going to do half. And we were like, okay, still egregious though. Like can we not? Like,
I do 5 and I'm like, hi.
Yes.
I'm so sensitive. They did 50. They were like, one time I did, like, see, it's like some, they're like, sometimes I'll just do 50 and I'll just like watch some movies. I'm like, 50 milligrams and you are walking?
Right. 50 milligrams. I'm like butt naked in the snow outside in New York. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I know.
I'm like,
I'm not
scaling the ceiling. I'm like that, you know, that video right. of Tom Holland, like on set for Spider-Man, jumping on the cars and then jumping yes. on the trampoline. That's me in my apartment on 50 milligrams of weed.
That's what I think I'm doing, but I'm not nearly.
In reality, you're like just like on the couch, just like swimming.
Yeah.
Wait, so if you went to a dinner that had like weed infused stuff made by a chef and they asked you like how many milligrams, what would you say?
They say they recommend 5. I'd probably do 5. Because yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't smoke at all. Like, I don't mm-hmm. smoke, but like
yeah,
edible, I'll partake in every now and then. So, but I feel like that situation, you gotta do something. Like, yeah. I'm not doing one or no. Like, get me high.
Let me have a glass of wine and we'll figure it out.
Yes. Like, we'll be okay. I'm in a controlled environment right now. I'm okay.
Yeah. No, Denise really brought it. My favorite moment was when she said, thank you. You're welcome. To herself.
I love it. I don't know what. I thought that her and Erica were going to like get into it more at this party, but I guess that comes later on. So,
oh, really?
That'll be, yeah. Cause remember, she said something about, didn't she bring up like Denise's OnlyFans at one point, like in a trailer?
Oh, yes. I forgot. In my mind, yeah. that was going to be on this, but then I guess I forgot about that happening. You're right.
Right.
That is going to happen. Well, I'm excited for it. It's kind of like an unlikely fighting match, the two of them.
Right.
Cause Erica was so obsessed with her. When she came on the show, she was like starstruck by her.
By the way, literally, you could have given me 20 chances to guess. I would have never guessed that Denise was mad about her talking about threesomes at that. I thought it was about Brandy Glanville, if anything else. Like, well,
I was thinking
it
was about like, being Team Lisa and Lisa outing Denise's Brandy Glanville escapades. That's exact. Yeah, when she brought, I don't think Denise knew what she was saying. And then when she was like, watch the show.
Like, first of all, no.
Erica's like, I don't watch the show.
Exactly. I barely want to film this shit. I'm not.
Right. I'm not watching this shit. I'm certainly not going back to watch season 10 or whatever.
Of all seasons.
Right.
No.
Well, Kendrick, thank you. This is so fun today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love coming over here.
I know.
Dumpster's so fun.
I know. And next week we are covering Married to Medicine season 1, episode 1 with Kix and I.
I can't wait to hear.
So please check it out. We had a really great chat about just kind of the origins of all these women. And there's some great quotes right in episode 1. So.
Oh my God.
It's great.
They are like quote machines
they
on
are.
Married to Medicine. I feel like you get every episode you watch. You get something that sticks with you that whole week that you're going to laugh about.
Quad, waxes poetic to Mariah about just, like, her hatred for Carrie. And none of it makes any sense. But you're just, like, you're, like, smiling. You're like, okay. Whatever that means.
Right.
Kendrick, tell everyone where they can follow you, listen to you, all the stuff.
Of course. You can find me anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places. I am Reality and Comics 2, or you can search Kendrick Tucker. Next year, I'm doing a little rebrand because I want my name in my podcast title. So it'll be something new in a couple of weeks.
Exciting.
So just follow me. Follow me now so it pops up in your feed automatically.
So it'll be on the same feed and everything.
Yes.
Love
exact
it.
Same podcast, new cover, new kind of, you know, tweaks and turns and all that kind of stuff.
Excited for that. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yep. And then once again, check out Married to Medicine season 1, episode 1. That is on Peacock. And we will be chatting about that next week here on the pod. And say bye to the listeners, Kendrick. Bye.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod and on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.